Praise God. Hallelujah. It's nice to see some old friends, and it's also exciting to meet some new ones. I'm so excited. I'm just welcoming myself back here, you see. The last time I was here, I don't know how many of you remember me. You do. Fantastic. And I'm back here again, and on invitation of Pastor Philip. Like he said, we have a very close relationship and friendship over the years. And I know what's going on with his life and his ministry. And I'm certainly so excited each time he's in contact with us. I just want to quickly introduce my wife one more time. Okay? Elena. Every time I look at her, I get nervous. I'm so worried because she's getting younger every day. I don't know how many men think like, oh, look at you know, I mean, look at your wife and you feel that way. You know, each time I look at her, she's getting younger. And man, maybe we men have to go and do some detox, botox, and whatever tox. You know, but I tell you what, the best thing to do is to pray. Because she's praying more than us. The wives, the mothers, the women, they're praying more than us. That's why they're growing younger. So our prayer, man, is to say, God, just slow down our aging. Hallelujah. Then we could be able to mesh with her. You know that we have two boys. The first one is 22 years old. And the young one, I'm going to call him young one, he's already 19 years old. You can't believe that she has two boys, 22 and 19. And God is so amazed. You know, he's just doing great works in our life. And I'm so excited. And today, and also have my sister-in-law with me here. She's Elena's sister, older sister. And it's great to have her here with us on 2 weeks visiting us. And her daughter will be coming today as well. And Will, the other friend of mine, Will is one of the leaders in Toowoomba when I had a ministry there. And Pastor Philip will remember him because when Pastor Philip preached at our church retreat, that was when Will gave his life. How awesome is that? Praise God. Before I start, I just felt as I was worshiping this morning, God gave me a word for this church. The word just came as unsettled. The word is unsettled. I don't know, among us, some of us could be in a situation like this. Did you know that that place being unsettled is a place of turmoil? And I sense that God wants you to step out. Isaiah 55 says, for your thoughts are not my thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. I just encourage you. Some of you are in the situation like this. It could be a job. It could be your work. It could be even housing. It could be a decision about the kids. And there's a place of conflict for the enemy. Don't stay there. Don't stay there any longer than you could. Begin to come together and pray. I want every head bow. If you are in that situation and you know it, just raise your hand. Okay? I want to just pray and just pray that God will come and remove this situation from our life. Just raise your hand. Come on, everyone. Those of us in this situation. If you know that you are in a state of unsettled, you are just in a state of turmoil, there's no peace. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, we know, God, that you are a minister of hearts, oh God. You are the healer of our situation. You transform, Lord, things, Lord, that are not right. God, the enemy wants to trap us there as long as he can get. But today, God, we agree together. We say, Lord, right now, we are willing, we are obedient. God, we're going to step out. In the name of Jesus, I pray right now, Lord, for those of us with the hands raised, they recognize, they identify, Lord, themselves, that they want to connect with you again. Father, I pray, Lord, by your mercy and your grace, you will set them free. You will remove them out of that place. They no longer are trapped by the enemy. They're going to move forward. They're not going to move backward. Neither will they remain in that place any longer. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Step out by faith. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Every time I preach, I always make myself feel at home. Make myself feel so relaxed. And I'm going to tell you a joke, okay? A few minutes ago, in a church service, as the congregation began to settle down, suddenly, Satan appeared in the church, in front of the church. Everybody started to scream and shout and began to scramble for the nearest exit. Soon the church was empty, except for one elderly old man sitting calmly right in front. He doesn't want to move. He's oblivious to the fact that God's greatest enemy was in the presence. So Satan walked up to the old man. "Did you know who I am?" The man said, "Yep, I know. Are you not afraid of me?" "Nope, I'm not. Don't you realize that I can kill you with one word?" "I don't doubt it," said the old man. "Did you know that I can cause you severe pain, agony, horrifying situation that you never can dream of?" "Yep," said the old man again. "Why are you not afraid of me?" Then Satan began to go nearer to him. "Just tell me, everybody is gone and you are still not afraid of me. I've been married to your sister for 48 years. "Well, not your wife, I hope." Father, we pray this morning that your word will be true and alive, Lord, among us. You bring a revelation of God. As we seek you, we will find you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Turn your Bibles to John chapter 6. You have it on the screen? John chapter 6, reading from verse 26, verse 25. I'd like to talk to you this story. Okay, never mind. We'll come to that later. John chapter 6, it says, when they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth. You are not looking for me because you saw the miraculous signs, but because you ate from the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but food that will endure to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval." This short passage comes about. Before that, was Jesus fed the 5,000 people. Jesus showed miraculous signs, teaching them, and then feed them. And all these people were chasing after him because he is the wonder man. He's the miracle man. And therefore, they want more of him. They know that he could provide for their meals and make their fill. Jesus says, "No, go after the things that have eternity." Proverbs says, "He who wins souls is wise." A lot of us will continue to chase after the things that doesn't have any eternal values. They only want God, but not his presence. The Holy Spirit wants to habitate, but we only want him to visit us. Today, I want to title my sermon, "How Can I Find God?" Or "Where Can I Find God?" Before I bring you to four principles of how and where can we find God, I want to lay down some facts. First, God will not be found when he's not needed. He's not welcome. He will not be found when somebody's pride is higher than heaven. God will not be found when the body is so disjointed, so fractured, so divided. There's so much conflict. You can't expect God to stay. God will not be found in dead places. And that's why Jesus cannot stand the tomb. Amen? Jesus rose from the dead because he don't like the place of death. God will not be found when we are not willing to lift a finger, but we want a room service treatment. Hey man, bring the sermon into the room. Turn on the television, live television, all the time. We don't have to go to church. Is everything is right before your eyes on the internet, on the television. God will not be found when people don't care for the kingdom's interests, but our own interests. I'm a firm believer if we continue to honor God and put the kingdom's interests above ourselves, God will take care of your interests. Amen? That's what the Bible says in Matthew 6:33. God will take care of your interests. You don't have to worry about that. Begin to be focused on what God wants to do. There's a song that we sing, My Redeemer Lives. God take us out from the murky clay, right? He picks us out from the darkness into the marvelous light. But God will not lift you up from your rocking chair. God will not pull you up because you just want to lay back and come on and serve me. No, God will let you do what you want to do. How many of you got lost when you come to church this morning? Let me see your hand. None. You could be Christians for 3 years, 5 years, 10 years. I'm telling you, when you come to town, first time to the city of Joondalup or Clarkson, maybe you will get lost first time, right? But now with GPS, almost impossible to get lost. My brother put on a GPS. He got it here right on time, smack on. But people can find a church, but they don't know how to find God. Isn't that amazing? It's a fact. A lot of us can be coming to church Sunday after Sunday, never miss the church, cannot even, get lost. But until today, sometimes we can't find God. There are four places we can find God. Number one, around people. Jesus was with the 4,000 people. Jesus was with the 5,000 people. His whole life is about people. Jesus loves people. God's heart is for the nation, is for the people. He was teaching them, educating them, rebuking them, counseling them, motivating them, demonstrating miracles. Jesus was around people all the time. The Bible says that He came to seek and save the lost. When Jesus was 12 years old, the parents were so panicking because they couldn't find Him. Right? And what happened? Where's my son? They found him in the temple. What was he doing? Hanging around the scribes and the Pharisees to tell them, teach them about the law. He was at 12 years old. He was already hanging around people. Man, if you want to find God, you got to be around people. You got to begin to shift. Make some sacrifices. Make some changes. If you have a mentality, home, church, home. Home, church, home. I'm telling you, you're going to miss out on God. Let me tell you the truth. You're going to miss out on God. It's okay to do what you want to do, but I'm telling you, if God has a plan for you, don't have that mentality. Home, church, home. Be a bit different every Sunday. Come a little bit early. I know, smack on, 10 o'clock, the worship will start. Today, I'm going to tell my wife, tell my kids, let's get ready. Let's be there at 9:40 and see what God's doing. Somebody's going to step in the door new. After service, don't rush off. Have a bit of coffee. Right? You have coffee, right? Yes. Plenty. Somebody told me that they could not even serve the coffee around because everybody's rushing home. Come on. We have budget for coffee and tea. Make use of it. So, be a bit more chatty every Sunday. Get around people. Don't always sit in your favorite seat there. I tell you what, next Sunday, change your seat. And Christians are very, very nocturnal. They love their own corner. They love their own favorite seat, right? Come on. Yes, but next Sunday, I want you to move up from there and sit here and see what God's going to do. Amazing. Amazing. Pastor Philip will not be able to see. Looking for Simon is not here anymore. But he's sitting right here. That's amazing. You see, we got to be different and begin to connect with people. You know, we got to be a little bit gay-bo. I'm trying to cater for the Aussie, you know. Gay-bo is the Singaporean word for being inquisitive. Actual word is gay-bo. Huh? Okay, I was speaking a bit more angmo today. Gay-bo. Okay, so be a bit more inquisitive, right? I'm not saying gossip, but I'm saying connect. There's always a reason for staying back, coming early. There's no reason to rush off after service. Visitors will come into the church every Sunday, right? And they're looking at us. Are they welcome? Are they feeling at home in this place? They really want to feel that this is the place that I want to be. A survey was done for the first time church visitors in America. These are the findings, okay? Listen. People won't come to places or church where they're going to trip over expensive marbles, ornaments, and paintings. People won't come to church where they must wipe their feet of the dirt 10 times before they can step in. Carpet after carpet must wipe their feet. People won't come to church when they have everything. Do not touch. People won't come to church when they're looking for a seat. Reserve for senior pastor, reserve for assistant pastor, reserve for worship leader, reserve for the deacon, reserve for everything except. To me, the only place you can reserve is reserve for visitors. Amen? I tell you a story. It's a true story, okay? Last year, I was back in Singapore. I went to a church in Pasir Ris. Okay? Because it's really the first time I got lost, okay? But nevertheless, Singapore, you really can get lost, but then you can find in the next about 20 minutes. I was late, so I drive straight into the basement car park. There wasn't any car park. And I look behind from my rear mirror, there was a man chasing after me. Hey! Oh no, I thought I'm going to get a ticket. I wind now and say, I'm a visitor here. Visitor? Oh, come, follow me. I reverse my car and follow him. He bring me straight into the doorway, the glass door. There are 3 slots for visitors. Hallelujah! I say, God, this is awesome. Already, I feel so at home. I got the first slot next to the senior pastor. But in Australia, you don't have to worry about car park. Everywhere is free, right? There, you know my point. My point is, we need to make the people welcome. There's a saying, by the time the preacher come and preach, the visitor would have made up his mind, would have known the culture of the church. Whether he was connected or disconnected, whether he was welcome or wasn't welcome, right? It's natural because they are human. They're going to observe our outward appearance. So, somebody come to church, you got to connect with them, all right? Welcome them. Ask them 10 questions before you let them go, okay? Today, you got 2 candidates. You know what to do, huh? Jesus never stops meeting with people and hanging around people. You touch God when you touch people. Alright? Sometimes you have nothing to do after service and Pastor Philip is going to ask people to come for prayer in the altar. What do? You got no friends, no visitors. You decided to go off. No! The next time you have nothing to do, okay, or you felt that you have some extra time, just come and stand behind those people in prayer. You could learn something because this is what I started in my deliverance ministry. I was the catcher. They call it catcher, right? Somebody praying, you just stand behind. Catcher, boom, they follow you. Okay? I was a professional catcher for 3 years before I began to be a minister of deliverance. Because when I was a catcher, I could hear how the pastor prayed. Everything I could hear. Okay? I know well about spirits. I know about demonic spirits. I know how to cast out demons. I'm learning. I was an apprentice. But then, if you're going to be a catcher, make sure you choose the right candidate, okay? Unless you want to be a roti prata. Choose your size. About your size, okay? But I hear people telling me, I like to talk to people, but it's not my style. You know, my nature is not like this, like you. You know, I'm not like Elena, my wife. She loves to talk to people. She has time for everybody. But some people tell me, Yuming, that's not my style. I like to church, home, and then I will go onto my internet. I like to read books. I'll update my Facebook. I don't want to call people. Please don't call me also. Come on, you guys. I know. Some of us are like that, right? What happened? Man, I'm not here to tell you right or wrong, okay? What I'm going to say is, God save you not to just to wait for the kingdom to come. God save you for the bigger community. Amen? God has a plan for you. Nothing wrong with what you're doing, but you could be missing out on the mighty things of God. Because divine connection is about people. God places you at the right time, at the right place, the right people. You will get a divine connection. If you keep on hiding in your own room, update your Facebook, man, I only find people on the Facebook. I only know what's going on with them because they don't call each other. Think about it. The last time I was, a couple of weeks ago after dinner, we were driving home and passing Renford Road, and the church that we are going now attending is PCLC. It was a Tuesday night, and the lights was on. There's a bit of activity. There's some cars. So we were trying to be gable, you know. So my wife said, maybe there's a worship going on. I said, maybe. Let's try and have a look. We decided to detour and went to the church. And we went to the sanctuary. It was all dark. Oh, no. There's no worship. And then we saw there's some noise in the small little room. We just take a peep. Then it was people sitting down having coffee and tea. And I said, oh, no, this is not our, maybe there's some private meeting going on. And as soon as I opened the door, there's a pastor that I know, Pastor Andrew, saw me. Hey, you cannot go. Oh, no. I said, no, we are not part of this meeting. No, you stay. Tonight is a welcome night for newcomers. I said, I'm not a newcomer anymore. I've been here for a few months. It's okay. Just stay. Oh, that's it. You would think that, man, I'm trapped. I tell you, God began to sit you down, meeting new people, making connections. That night, we connected with a few new people, and we knew that God is doing something mighty. You see, we got to learn to do something out of the extraordinary. God will provide a connection for you. What did Jesus say before he left? He gave us a great commission that we shall make disciples of all nations. He didn't say that you shall stay at home until my kingdom come. No! Jesus didn't say you stay on your own and do nothing until my kingdom come. He says, go, make disciples. Another thing I'm going to talk about is quite interesting. Have you heard of the cliche, Christian cliche? Oh, let me pray about it. Let me pray about it. Tonight, are you coming to Pastor Philip's house? I pray about it. Tonight, tomorrow, there's a prayer meeting. Are you coming? I pray about it. There's a retreat going on in October. Are you coming? I pray about it. Come on, church! We, as a Christian, has developed a culture of everything being over-spiritualized. We are not talking about getting married. We are not talking about buying a church. We are not talking about, you know, doing something major, okay, or buying a car or something big or going to full-time ministry. Definitely, you got to pray about it. But we're talking about, are you coming or not? A simple question to a simple answer, right? I'll pray about it. Let me tell you, okay, in Yuming's Christian dictionary translation or definition, if a Christian says, I'll pray about it, the answer is, I'm not interested. Don't bother me. Short of saying, okay? Next time somebody asks, tell you, you ask him something, are you having dinner with me tonight? I'll pray about it. It's just like, okay, I got it. Jesus was always hanging around people. Only twice in the scriptures that Jesus went away to pray. Mark 1:35 and Mark 6:46. Sometimes you need to be alone, yes, to pray. Apart from that, his whole life is about people. Do you know that even on the cross, he was hanging on a cross. Who was beside him? Left and right. Two criminals. He was still witnessing. He was still evangelizing to the two people. It's about life. It's about people before his death. Church, there are a lot of people here, you know, your friends, relatives who are unsaved. You need to talk. You need to share. You need to hang around them. Tell them about your testimonies. Okay? Number two, where can I find God? You can find God in places that are filled with pain, suffering, brokenness, hunger, sickness, places of discrimination, places which are lack and poverty. People who are lonely. Do you know that in Australia, there are a lot of homeless people? Last week, we raised funds to support some homeless people. I bet you, that places, God is there. Jesus says in Matthew 25, I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, you invited me in. I was naked, you clothed me. I was sick, you looked after me. I was in prison, you visited me. Then you say, Jesus, I didn't see you. When did I do that to you? Jesus said, what you do to the least of this, my brethren, you do unto me. That's a powerful word. Okay? In serving and meeting needs, you will find God. Remember the story of John 4? The woman at the well. Next slide. The Bible tells us this woman was rejected. The woman was discriminated because of her lifestyle. She had five husbands. She was in pain. She was broken. People around her ostracized her, cut her off. They even say that you're a Jew, I'm a Samaritan. We cannot mix, right? But Jesus met her where she is, in her sin, in her problems, in her defeat, and gave her hope and faith. In reality, certain communities don't mix, I understand. Either because of culture, because of race, because of creed or background, or even status, rich or poor. We can't get along. My neighbor has two cars, I'm one car. No, I'm not going to talk to him until I get another car. There are classes in society. I'm telling you, God has to be there. God is the God of all nations, all tribes, and all culture. I remember a story. I was 3 years ago. I was ministering in a church in Sunshine Coast. It was a multicultural church. After the service, we had altar call. And I was praying for a few people. Suddenly, an Aussie man came up to me. Aussie white man came up to me. He said, "Pastor, can you pray for me?" I said, "Sure. But I need to speak to you in private." "Hey, what's going on?" I said, "Look, he need to speak to me in private." I said, "I thought it was perhaps his sexual problems or something that is so embarrassing." I said, "Sure." I'm moving away from the crowd. And he said, "Pastor, I have this problem." I said, "Tell me." He said, "I'm a racist. I never prayed for that before, okay? I just can't stand the people who are not from this country coming to the church." I said, "Brother, have you been a Christian for..." "Yeah, I've been a Christian for many years, but I just can't. I just hate them. And I know it's wrong. Tonight, I just want to be ministered to." Oh, man! He was so open. He was so direct. He knew that this is not right. According to the scriptures, God loves all people. And he said, "Help me, Pastor. Pray for me that I will break this demonic spirit of hatred of against other people, other color." And then I pray with him and say, "Lord, set this man free, set this brother free, that he could be used to go out to the nation, that he will see somebody with a different color, different creed, different language, like his own brother." Amen? This is what we need to do. This is a country whereby migrants will come in. I want to encourage us, guys, there's no standards in God's eyes. We all are the same. But that's the fact of life. The next story in John chapter 5 about this man who has been 38 years invalid. Okay, to cut the story short, when he was trying to get well, but Jesus came. And the first thing Jesus asked him, "Do you want to get well?" What a silly question, Jesus. Can't you see I'm sick, I'm not well? But I tell you what, Jesus never asks questions for nothing, for fun. Okay, Jesus doesn't like to poke at us. There's always something behind it. You know why? Because a lot of people never want to get well. A lot of people don't want to get out from the addiction. A lot of people don't want to get out from what they are. They enjoy it. That's why sometimes when you come to church for prayer, sometimes it's like, "I don't want to come, but my sister bring me, my auntie bring me, so I come lah." Really? God's asking you, do you want to get well? Because if you agree, Jesus agree, in two, there's agreement and there's power. Amen? This is what God's asking. Jesus asked him, "Do you want to get well? For 38 years, you've been there. But do you want to get well?" All he says is, "Yes." That's it. The miraculous happened. Amen? Amen? Sometimes we need to understand. When you are asked this question, don't get offended. Okay? If Pastor Philip asks you, "Do you want to get well?" Don't get offended. He just wants you to agree with him. Yes, that faith was sparked off. Then there was an encounter. But I tell you, the point is, people give up hope on him because he's been there for 38 years. Alright? Don't give up hope on people who have not been healed. Because when you give up, or you say it's enough, God will suddenly show up. Okay? The next story, Luke chapter 13. Jesus healed a woman bent over for 18 years. Again, a situation where nobody wants to go near. For 18 years, she was bent over. Okay? How many will place your clean hands on an old, weak, dirty, bent over, heavily wrinkled faced woman? Nobody would do that because dirty, smelly. But Jesus, Bible says, Jesus put his hands on her. Jesus put his hands on her. I'm telling you, church, you want to find God, you got to be in that places. Sometimes we get so immune, desensitized, we get numb because there's trouble kids running around your neighborhood. You got to see your friends on the wheelchair, in and out of church. You're going to see somebody who's been sickness, okay, for many years around you. And you get numb. Maybe you have also prayed for him. You get desensitized. But the very moment you say, "God, I have enough. I'm going to move on," God will show up. Don't give up. If you've been praying for somebody, your loved one who's been sick, don't give up. These two cases, for 38 years and 18 years, Jesus show up at a point when people think enough is enough. There's a story about the white nurses, the British nurses in India. Many years ago in the 50s, they were caring for the lepers. They would go down on their knees to bandage the wounds, and the sores is so despicable, okay? And therefore, they would nurse them, tender them, and help them to be well. And there was a tourist walking by in the streets of Calcutta, looking at the nurse doing the job. day in and day out. And the tourist said, "Yee, I won't do that for $1 million. The nurse looked up at him. "Neither would I. But what I won't do, but God put a love into me. That what I'm doing is for God and for His love, for this man." Sometimes we don't understand. Sometimes we only choose to do what we want to do because things are too much for us. We prefer to be in a cozy, air-conditioned, okay, high-tech environment and we want to serve God. The Bible says in Proverbs 14:31, "He who oppresses the poor shows contempt for their maker, but whoever is kind to the needy honors God." Hallelujah. Okay, I've heard people say that they are poor because they don't know how to save money. They are poor because they squandered their money. It's not my fault. Okay? There are many poor people around the world. Okay? What is your response? People who are poor are most receptive because unless God show up, there will be no hope for these people. Amen? On the other hand, I believe God is most likely not needed in places of wealth, of power, of pride. How many of you, okay, every morning, if you have 3 cars, you say, "God, help me to know which car to drive. Is it a BMW or the Jaguar or the Mercedes?" Every morning you pray. Or at night before you sleep, you have a 10-room bungalow. "God, show me which room to sleep." Okay? Don't get me wrong. It's okay to be rich. It's okay to be wealthy and prosperous. But what I'm saying, the difference is, God is most likely to show up in the presence of need and desperation and despair. That's where you'll find God. Amen. I remember a story 3 years ago. I was in a church. I was running a church in Toowoomba. Before the service, we were like, "You guys, we pray in the room for souls." As soon as the service ended, we pray for souls. As soon as I come out from the room, I saw an Aborigine man, okay, walking into the church. His hair was unkempt, ruffled, he was smelly with alcohol, his shirt was dirty, his pants were drooping all over, he was not wearing shoes, and he was walking to the church. And then I heard God say, "You mean, that's the soul." I said, "No way, God, no way. You know that I pray for multitudes of people coming to the church, young people, vibrant, rich businessmen who can give to the church. I want a multitude conversion, not this one." God says, "You ask for a soul, and I'm giving you a soul." Hey, wait a minute. I said, "God, wait a minute." And then I saw him looking at a notice board, and I quickly walked to another room, and I sort of like engaged God. "God, I know you are the Alpha and Omega. I know you're the creator of heaven and earth. I know you're the Yahweh God. You are the awesome God. But maybe you didn't hear our prayer properly." You know, it's like I was telling God, "You didn't hear our prayer. I was not after this. I was after the miraculous conversion." "Oh, this can't be the soul." God says, "No. You asked for a soul and I'm giving you this soul." Well, I went out to the room, not wanting to offend God. Maybe God needs a bit more time to think about it. So I went out. Just like every ordinary pastor, 2 o'clock service was our afternoon service. Okay? And I was the only pastor. So I was naturally the senior pastor. So I must show some example, right? So I say, "Hey, come brother, sit down and have a cup of coffee." I make him a cup of coffee, brought him some biscuit, and began to talk to him. God spoke to me. "You man, lead him in the salvation prayer." Oh man, that's where I knew. All right, you know that you can debate with God, you can argue with God. God never argue with you. He just tell you to do it. He give you instruction, you follow. And then I lead him in a sinner's prayer, and he prayed and accepted Jesus, and he became a Christian. And not only that, Sunday after Sunday, he will come early to join us in the prayer, pre-service prayer, and he will attend the service faithfully. Oh man, great for the next 5 to 6 weeks. And thereafter, he disappeared. And I thought, yes, my time to get even with God. So I drove around the neighborhood, went to the Aborigine community, which I know, and I asked them, "Hey, where's John? Where's John?" They said, "Yeah, he was around, but we don't know where he's in now. He's gone." Then I said, "God, you see, I knew. He's not the one." And that's where God spoke to me. "You mean, there was an angel I sent to your church. I want to see and test and see if the church will love and care for the sick, for the disabled, for the lonely. That you will welcome the big, the rich businessmen, multitudes into the church. At that point of time, I asked for God to forgive me. And I knew I was wrong. You see, we need to understand, God is always putting us to test to see whether we love these people, love these underprivileged people. Sometimes we think that we are cut for bigger things. We are cut for bigger and brighter things. But we don't want to do the mundane things. Okay? I remember driving a Filipino to look for a job. In my car, he accepted Jesus. Amen. There's a church in Melbourne, Dandenong. It is a multicultural church, and that suburb is pretty rough. It's a low rental area. People doesn't have jobs. A lot of homeless people. A lot of single mother. Okay? And the church pastor has a great ministry. Okay? He called it the coffee ministry. How many of you drink coffee here? Wow. At least 80% drink coffee here. Every day, every Friday, from 2 to 6 o'clock, they open the church doors and serve free coffee for anybody to walk into the church and have a cup of coffee with them. And then they'll sit down and the volunteers, senior citizens, and elderly people, retirees, young people who have an off day will come to church and engage them in conversation. Talk about life. Talk about testimony. And they put a lot of tracts on the table over coffee. Can you imagine during winter in Melbourne? Man, coffee is the best. You know? So therefore, they had a great ministry. Hundreds and hundreds of them come to church. How wonderful it is to sip your favorite latte, cappuccino, and saving souls. How awesome is that, right? Matthew 9:36 says, when he saw the crowd, he had compassion on them. Because they were harassed, they were helpless. Move on. Like a sheep without a shepherd. Jesus said, we need to have compassion if you want to find God. The story of the Good Samaritan. The man was waylaid, left by the roadside. Three different persons walk across and saw the man. Three different persons can have three different responses. Can you believe that? The priest, the Levite, and the Good Samaritan. Who are we? It's a fact of life that sometimes we could be looking at a situation and never lift a finger or an eye or ear. Do we see a need and turn away because of inconvenience? Do we see a sick person on the street? And because we are too rushed, we have no time? Did you go out of your daily norms and love somebody beyond your normal ability? Have you ever stretched yourself to do something extraordinary for somebody? When was the last time you gave without asking for a return? Church, we need to be extraordinary if you want to find God. Where can I find God? Number three, in places where willing people who are willing to be faithful will live in a generation that we must have it now, must happen now mentality. The modern day believers are very impatient. We pray and God must answer tomorrow. Okay? We want instant happening, instant miracles, instant healing, instant deliverance. It's like we put a dollar into the vending machine, whoop, God comes out. Vending machine. You see, 1 Kings 17 talk about Prophet Elijah. He was faithful to stay in the ravine until you. And God was sent him 24-7 air-flown pizza and coffee and coke. And to feed him until the brook dry up. And God says, now it's time to move. You see, if you want to find God, you got to stay faithful. My point is, faithfulness in staying. Many will move on to new things when you see some things are not moving. Too slow. I'm expecting this to happen. It's not happening. I'm moving on. Okay? I'm telling you, staying is not comfortable. Staying is not convenient. Staying is not always fun. I agree. But Jesus said, if only you will tarry one more hour. Right? Sometimes we need to understand that because we are in a rush, we just missed out what God wants to do. Alright? If we have been patient and wait, I know that a lot of your friends will have gone. Many people will move on. Okay? Many will have quit. But if you are faithful, you will find God. Alright? During a huge crusade back in Singapore, I can't remember, it's called the Laughter Crusade or whatever. It started at 8 o'clock. About 9:45, people were streaming out of the stadium. Singapore Indoor Stadium, all heading for the exit. The speaker stopped and he said, "You people up there, I can see that you are leaving. That's all right. Feel free to leave. There's no compulsion in staying. If you know what you're here for, okay, you will stay. But if you're here because of out of curiosity, I believe you have had your you have seen enough. You may go. But if you're here for something more, you will know the reason for staying." He wasn't having any obligations. He was just telling them straight. What about us today, church? If you're here to do an hour and a half, 2 hour service, by the time the clock starts about now, you'll be nudging your husband, "Hey, where are we having lunch? Darling, where are we going for lunch?" It's natural. If you're here to meet with God Almighty, He's worth waiting for. Amen? Is that what we are here for? God show up and feed the 5,000. This story, we're only concerned about the miracle. Do you know that Jesus teach them, educate them, telling them all about the kingdom, and then begin to fix dinner, organize dinner. But the miracle came after, right? The 12 basket was collected after. What happens if I want to eat and run off? What happens if I have no time? I just miss the miracle. You see? I'm talking about being faithful, you see? Sometimes we just want to get our stomach filled and that's it. We don't care for what's going on, but God always show up at the last minute. Many meetings started very natural, very normal. I'm not saying that God always show up to the end of the meeting. I wish He will, because everybody will stay back. Many times, meeting starts very natural, very normal. But bang, suddenly, God show up. And He decides when to show up. Okay? I also know that whenever I go and watch a soccer game, I'm a crazy soccer fanatic, I will say. Jimbo will tell you. Every time when I watch a soccer game in a stadium, my mother will tell me, "Don't wait for the game to end. 10 minutes before the game ends, you quickly go out so that you avoid the jam. You don't have to miss your MRT. You don't have to caught people in the bus, traffic jam in the car. 10 minutes, you got to go." But my mother is not a soccer player. She doesn't understand soccer, the passion you have for soccer. Every time I leave 10 minutes before, it was 0-0. By the time I turn on the TV, oh, 3-3, 3-2, 2-1. I miss out a goal. It's not fun, right? Because the good things always happen at the end. You see, you got my point. Even the fishermen, they were all faithfully fishing, 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 until the real fishermen show up and taught them how to fish. You serious about finding God? You got to be faithful. Where God has placed you. Stop running, because if you run, you're going to run again. There may be issues, there may be problems. I don't deny it, but you got to ask God where, and you got to be faithful to encounter God. Some things will take a long time before it comes to pass. Noah was asked to build an ark and waited for 120 years before he see. God, what is the ark for? Oh, to put all the animals. Oh, the flood is coming. Abraham waited 100 years before he see his promised son. Joshua was told by God to look for a puff of cloud as big as a palm. And soon you will see a miraculous outpouring of water from heaven. Amen? Some things will start very not natural, small. Pastor Philip and Irene, you know you have a very faithful pastor. For 8 years, he has been running this church. I'm telling you, he has his challenges, and I know it's never been easy. But all he wants is a team who are people who can see the same vision, run with the same vision, and walk alongside him and continue to be faithful. You never know what God is doing in this northern part of Perth, this community. God has a big plan for us unless we wrap up and say, "God, I call it quits." All right? There are challenges, but God is going to show up if you have been faithful. In a race, the prize is given not at the beginning, but at the end. God is never late in His appointment. We are early quitters in our appointments with Him. The last point, where can I find God? You can find God if you are willing to step out and take risks. The reason why many people remain where they are is because they never step out and take risks. It's a safe zone. It's a secure zone. A safe zone is never a place of destiny. Church, listen to me. If you have been in a safe zone, you always think that it's security, but it's never a place of destiny. Don't get me wrong. You can be secure, but you have never fulfilled your dreams. God has a bigger dream for each one of us. But we never see this destiny because we don't want to take risks. We are so afraid. We play safe. Bible says it's impossible to please God without faith. Three Hebrew men refused to worship God and was put in the furnace. Daniel refused to bow down to the foreign gods and was kept in a lion's den. Esther, Queen Esther, remember? She said, if I perish, I perish. He took risks and seek an audience with the king in order to save the Jews from being wiped out. She knew sitting back, doing nothing, and minding her own business will not encounter God. She had to obey, risk her life, and find God. What is the common outcome for all these three situations? God show up. If you're looking for God, you want to find God, you got to take risks. I'm going to leave with you this interesting caption. Faith, next slide. Faith is from vision to action. From dream to reality. From hope becomes your destiny. From conception to inheritance. How awesome is that? Church, you could be 30, 40, 50, 60. I'm telling you, you still have a dream. Dream is what you do in your, it's not what you do in your sleep. Dream is what that cannot make you sleep. You got it? People say that sleeping a dream. No, that's your normal dream. But the real dream is what? You can't sleep because you're restless. Oh man, I got so many things running in my head. Next tomorrow, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. In 5 years, I see myself. In 10 years, I'm going to see myself happening. In the church I was running again, we have 30 members, 30 or 40 members in my congregation, smaller than yours, half the size. All migrants, all refugees, all students. Man, great recipe God give me. And God says, you guys, raise fund, buy a van. I said, God, the morning church service have 600 people. Why didn't you ask them to raise fund and buy the van? You'll be easy target for them. No, God said, you do it. In 6 months, we raised 38,000 and we bought a Toyota Hiace for the church. Not for us only, for the whole church. The senior pastor said, Yuming, what are you guys doing? You guys, Chinese are very good businessmen, you know. Next time you want to raise fund, we're going to call you. You guys raised 38,000 in 6 months and buy a van? I said, yes, God told us to do it. We're going to step up by faith. I mean, what I'm telling you is like very easy, right? But I tell you, talk to Will. It's a lot of prayer, a lot of challenges, a lot of faith put into it. Alright? There's always going to be things going to hinder you, trip you. Finances, no resources, no leaders, or no this, no that. I tell you what, if it's God's will, it is God's bill. If it's God's direction, it's God's providence. He will call somebody like you and me to step out. Okay? Some of us dreaming to go a mission trip. I'm telling you. It's nice you hear the story about mission trip, but never been there. Already now reaching your 30, 40, 50 soon. You have never been out of the country. Because why? Fear. Oh, very insecure. Cambodia, Vietnam, they're going to rob you. They're going to murder you. I brought about 15 young people to Cambodia a couple of years ago. And I really have a Bruneian girl, a Chinese girl. She's very rich and famous. She has 10 mates in Brunei. She said, I want to go, Pastor. Okay, come along. And she has been always the nagging pain among our group. Every time she said, what happens if we get kidnapped? What happens if they rob us? Then when we pray, come on, let's pray for our mission trip. She will say, God, pray that we won't get kidnapped in Cambodia. Then one of my older leaders, shut up, Andrea, what are you talking about? You see, the fear will grip us from doing anything for God. I'm sure you're sitting down here laughing, but I'm telling you the fact is, many of us have this fear of insecurity, fear of the unknown, that you never step out. If you want to go on a mission trip, don't worry too much. Pray and do your homework and go. I'm telling you, when you come back, you say, I will go again. That's what the people are telling me now. Okay? You never pray for the sick because you always say, every time I pray for the sick, they never get well. After a while, I give up. No! Come on! Keep praying! Big praying! Just like the man and the woman. Okay? God will show up. You know why that we have never seen anybody raising up the dead? Not very much, right? Because they never bring them into the church. next Sunday, bring somebody dead into the church. Okay? Not today, yeah? Next Sunday. So that Pastor Philip can have a go. Living in a safe zone, you'll never see the Red Sea parting. You'll never see Goliath's head rolling on the ground. You will never see the land of Canaan filled with honey and milk. You will never experience the fiery furnace the three Hebrew kids did. You will never see lion's jaw shutting in front of you. If you stretch yourself, if you dare to stretch yourself, God's going to meet you halfway. You are going to find God. Okay? You can never find God at your own terms and conditions, at your own convenience. That is my principle. I know you may have yours, but I'm telling you, if you want to find God, you cannot have your own terms and conditions. All right? You're going to find God, you follow what Jesus do. Go where Jesus go. You're going to find God. My brother, you're going to come back. The musician can come back. I'm going to close shortly.